Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Tuesday. The Steelers have signed a dome kicker.
Yeah, explain that to me, please. I do not understand that. Why? That is...
Well, not every game was indoors.
But do you want someone who has kicked majority of his kicks in a dome kicking in Heinz Field? I don't think so.
Unfortunately for you, you think too much.
Oh, by the way, not to mention the fact that he had a four-game suspension to start the season a few years ago for a banned stimulant.
Oh, as if your team doesn't have any guys like that?
I left the door open for you on that one.
Exactly. Who's your starting running back?
No. He just didn't realize that the stimulant he was using is A, illegal in Pennsylvania, and B, something he can't drive around with in his car. He got confused.
Illegal in 48 states.
He got confused between which state it was legal and the states that it was illegal. I'm kidding, of course. But a dome kicker? Come on. I want somebody that kicked in Buffalo or New England.
Sure, Scott Norwood's available. All right, Geno Smith. Geno Smith out 6 to 10 weeks. He got sucker punched and cold cocked by a teammate who has been released.
Please tell me why anyone on the team is even touching a quarterback in the camp.
Well, this is in the locker room.
And you're right. This was in the locker room. It wasn't even on the practice field.
Well, excuse me. I did a bowl game with the backup quarterback because the regular quarterback got cold cocked by a teammate in the locker room. Matt McGloin, Curtis Drake. Am I refreshing your memory?
I recall, yes.
Yes. So it does happen.
But that was after an entire season of...
But I was there, though, when the original incident happened. I was not there when Curtis hit him in the locker room because I left. I had to go to something else. And... That was a case where the two of them got into it on the practice field. And I'll be frank with you, the coaching staff did not do a good job at all of controlling it and nipping it in the bud. And that's part of their job as to what they're supposed to do. And that was a big issue. I mean, Matt's got a temper on him. Curtis has a temper on him. And there are a lot of guys that, you know, I remember John Urschel for one stepped in and he kind of calmed Drake down. Nobody calmed Matt down. And that was something that was really and I stood there watching this and thinking to myself, look, somebody just step in and just cool him down. And that didn't happen. That did not happen. Well, so no memo from you today. I don't understand.
It was a busy day. Well, you hit the two things that were the tops on my list.
Two? That's all you had was two?
I said you hit the things that were top on the list.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
You know, if you're trying to make an NFL team, though, you probably don't want to hit the potential starting quarterback. You're probably not going to make that team. You know, just a gut feeling here.
How about Oregon? They're going to wear glow-in-the-dark uniforms.
Now, that I missed. Is that true, or are you making that up? Because, let's face it is Oregon, so it is believable.
Well, I would hope that they would do it at a night game.
You would think. But it is a believable thing with Oregon.
Let me ask this question. I want to throw this out there. And it involves, obviously, modern media, modern sports. I don't in any way find MMA intriguing at all. Could care less. If it's on, I don't think I've ever really watched it because I just don't have an interest in it. That's just a personal opinion, not a commentary on anybody who likes to watch it. But I've heard so much lately about Ronda Rousey. Can someone explain to me the appeal of Ronda Rousey?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not a huge MMA or UFC fan, but I do know a little bit of what's going on. And one thing I could tell you is she is the Mike Tyson of the sport right now. She is probably the hottest name in MMA or UFC at this point.
Because
nobody lasts the first round with her.
I understand that part. But I don't get what the appeal is and why it's a story.
What, you mean the feud between her and Mayweather right now?
I think anything she does. Why is it a headline? Why is it a headline, anything she does? And again, this is nothing against her.
Maybe it's because
or her sport.
Yeah, but maybe it's because she's a female in a sport that is typically dominated by men, and she's very successful, and quite honestly, successful more than some of the males that are in the sport. That's probably it.
Well, I know she's successful, but I still don't see it. I don't see. I mean, where does MMA rank in the top 10 of sports?
Well, that's a good question. That's a very good question. But I think the thing is, she's a female mixed martial arts. Now training over to UFC, bronze medalist in the Olympics back in Beijing in judo, I believe. Now and has been featured in Sports Illustrated as a swimsuit model as well as an athlete. So I think she's starting. It's one of those things, Steve, where. Let me use this as an example. She's the LeBron James of her sport right now, where you know her name because she's crossed over into different culture besides just sports.
I know she's in movies.
Yes.
And I also know that there are movies that have made no money. So that means people didn't go to see them.
And I think she's the first fighter. I think she's the first fighter signed by UFC that is female. I believe that's the case.
Okay.
And she was in Fast and Furious 7.
Did that make money?
It's made some money, yeah.
Was she fast or furious?
Listen, from what I saw in the last fight and just the highlight on YouTube, both.
Okay.
I mean, that fight did not last long. And that might be the understatement. When we're talking, 30-some seconds? I think her quickest submission is, I think it's 12 seconds. Which features an arm bar, I believe, as her signature move. You're really disturbed that I know all this, aren't you?
No, I know nothing about her except I know she does this and she's really good at it, but
yeah,
I don't see the mass appeal of it. Why anything she does, I mean, I could care less what she says about Floyd Mayweather. I mean, that's never going to happen, so why bother reading it?
No, that's a good point.
I'm saying it just doesn't. I mean, like, take yesterday. I felt like yesterday was the day we talked about DraftKings and FanDuel. That was not breaking down games. That wasn't breaking down personalities. Wasn't talking about crossover personalities in pop culture and things like that. To me, that was a big time topic yesterday. on the show that people participate in and actually is a part of pop culture. I know you're surprised. You were probably shocked I went in that direction.
I was very shocked you went in that direction.
But I also thought it was a huge story, and it's going to be a story we're going to talk a lot about over the next few months, because I think that it is, whether you are for it or against it, DraftKings.com and FanDuel are going to be, in my opinion, two avenues where the road to gambling is going to open up in this country. And that is a gigantic story. Not a small story, a gigantic story in this country if sports betting is allowed, like it is in England, for example. And I think FanDuel and DraftKings are two avenues that open that door to the possibility of it happening. Because you already have, for example, in Massachusetts, where DraftKings is located, DraftKings is a Boston-based business. You already have members of the legislature crafting legislation so the Massachusetts lottery can benefit from a fantasy sports type of game. Well, if you already have legislators thinking in that realm, then you have an opportunity to have other people say, you know what, maybe we ought to just go and do sportsbook if we can benefit from it. The entire key to gambling will be as follows, and in no particular order. The leagues will back it if they see a way for them to financially benefit for them.
There
has to be a financial benefit for the leagues to get behind it. Number two, a way for the states to sit there and say that they will be able to make money from it. Make no mistake, look at the last 20 years. States have caught literally every break in the book when it comes to money. That's why the waste of money that we've seen on the state level, not just in Pennsylvania, but across the country, is embarrassing, because money has fallen out of the sky to help them out. Not money from you and me. You're saying, well, what money fell out of the sky? Tobacco settlement money fell out of the sky. Okay? Racetrack money and casino money in the state fell out of the sky. Didn't have that 20 years ago. They're still in trouble. They've been handed cash from two entities that did not exist 20 years ago. Tobacco settlement money and cash from casinos. And they still can't make it work. So what's the next avenue to doing it other than taxing you and me into the turf? What's the next avenue? In Colorado, the next avenue was legalization of marijuana and taxing that. In the end, what's going to be a more palatable way to do it, where morality would have to be swallowed as to some personal beliefs, and that would be gambling, wouldn't it? Sportsbook. As long as the state gets its cut. Now, I've stayed out of the opinion part of it until now, but that's my opinion. I think when you look at what the states have done, and not just Pennsylvania, but they were handed tobacco settlement money on a silver platter. Where is it? They've been handed casino money from slots at racetracks. And this is not just in this state, but in states all over the place in the country. And where's that money? Plus, they all have their state lotteries. Where's that money? What's an area to tap that could bring a significant financial windfall to a state? New Jersey understands that. Chris Christie has gone after sportsbook, and Delaware has gone after sportsbook forever. At some point, DraftKings and FanDuel, I think, opened the door for that to happen. Just an opinion. You may have a different opinion, which is fine. 800-795-9565 on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I can.
I can.
I can.
Yes, you can.
You can afford a new car from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Their volume pricing can get you behind the wheel of a 2015 Hyundai Accent GLS four-door for as low as $14,392. Save over $2,700. Or how about a 2015 Hyundai Elantra SC sedan? Was $19,935. Own it for as low as $15,999. Remember, all new Hyundais come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. These aren't leases. You own your new Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is the volume Hyundai dealer in Central PA. When you think you can't afford a new car,
I can.
I can.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai says you can. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
All rebates to dealer and includes valued owner. Financing with approved credit. Not all buyers will qualify. Tax and tags extra. See dealer for complete details.
This is where I wish I had a webcam to see how nervous Kevin gets.
About what?
Anything. Let's face it, you do not have what we would call nerves of steel.
No. No, I get a little anxious.
A little anxious? A little? He'll be tested tomorrow night. We'll see how you do.
Yeah, no kidding.
You act like the weight of the world's on your shoulders. Look, for 10 minutes, just sit there, work the room, entertain people. They
I'm not that entertaining. You give me too much credit.
Cindy, did you hear that? Cindy, did you hear that? I give Kevin too much credit. I give Kevin too much credit. Cindy, did you hear that?
I'm much more entertaining when there's a game in front of me.
Oh, I'll bet you are. I'll bet you are.
Which is, I believe, a mere 4 weeks away.
What, for you?
Yeah.
Which first game, September 4th?
September 4th. Actually, it'd be almost 3 weeks away right now.
How tough is it to take August off your favorite month list?
This year, it's not my favorite month. I mean, it used to be for an awful long time, but either I'm starting to drink the Steve Jones Kool-Aid on August, or I don't know.
Well, we have Indy next week.
See, that's what's helping right? Month of this year of August, because Indy's coming up on the 23rd.
Good.
And there's about 5 points right now separating Juan Pablo Montoya and Graham Rahal for the championship, with only one race to follow after.
Okay, let's go back to sports. 800-795-9565. Yeah.
I'm sorry, 4 points. No. No, it's I'm sorry. Sorry, it's nine. It's 9 points, not five. Nine.
Yeah, you know what it's like to sit at the controls of the plane and realize you're spiraling into the abyss?
What's this button do?
Oh, boy. All right. Geno Smith gets cold cocked by a teammate. He's out 6 to 10 weeks. Bill O'Brien has advised his mother not to watch tonight's opening episode of Hard Knocks.
I read that. I was going to bring that up to you earlier in the show, and I left it go. But I thought that was entertaining. I think that's because he might have been colorful sounding on the broadcast. That's what I'm guessing.
Let me put it to you this way. There will be nothing on Hard Knocks I have not heard before.
I believe that.
I was there all the time. So, As for Bill's mom, they weren't at practice. As Bill puts it, she's an Irish Catholic who goes to daily mass. The O'Briens live in Harwich, which is on Cape Cod. It's on the Nantucket side of Cape Cod. And my guess is, if I had to guess, she goes to Holy Trinity in Harwich, a church I've been to before. And I have met the O'Briens. Father's a great guy. Father, in fact, Bill's dad helped out a friend of mine who was starting a business on Cape Cod, a friend by the name of Alan Davis. And Alan opened up a business, Cape Cod Creamery, and he opened it up in South Yarmouth, and then he just opened a location last year in Hyannis, very close to where the Kennedys live. Kennedys often ask about you, by the way. And Bill's dad was involved in politics for a long time. And when they moved permanently down to Cape Cod, he got involved in the political process down there, and he kind of opened up some doors to help Alan get the business. But that's where they are. And yeah, Bill isn't my mom watching tonight. Maybe a too colorful for mom. He'll probably bring back memories for me.
This looks awfully familiar.
No, it's going to sound awfully familiar. My favorite was when they first put in the system in the spring of 2012. Now, over the years, you know, they made change. Joe made changes to the system, you know, far more than people ever dreamed. I mean, I'm always, you know, you do get stereotypes, but they made changes all the time as to what they were doing based on the personnel they had and so forth. Well, Bill comes in, he has his own system, and he puts his system in. Well, they're all these guys now, after being used to one system or one, you know, base formula of the system, now have to learn an entirely new one. So he call out a play, blah, 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 blah. And they'd line up, and one guy would be lined up in the wrong spot, and the quarterback would be trying to direct where they're supposed to be, and he'd yell out, "Just run what you think it is." And we'll evaluate it later. Just run what you think it is.
How many pages is his playbook?
Well, not the same as Joe's in terms of the length of playbook, same.
What, like 100, 150?
I don't know. Yeah, I saw they looked about relatively the same to me as the playbooks I saw the other time. You know, there are only so many plays, you know. A lot of what you do, okay, is that you can take the same play and you can window dress the play. You know, there are not a lot of plays. Oh, my, he's got a playbook, 5,000 pages. Oh, please.
Hey, take one formation, one play, and you base five more plays off of that, usually.
Right. So that's what they do. They window dress plays. They'll run a play where the tight end is lined up next to the tackle. They'll run the same play where the tight end is now lined up as a wing and the receiver's over here, whatever. But you have the same play, but five to six different ways of lining up to run the play. It's called window dressing. It's as simple as that. And I know we try to make football into this ultra complex deal, and a lot of it is very complex. A lot of things have to work right on a play to make it work. That's because you have 11 guys trying to execute it and 11 guys trying to stop it. That's why a lot of things have to work well to have it work. But at the same time, there are certain parts of it that are pretty simple. And you could talk about all the plays that you have. I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this. But a lot of it is just where you line up and then run the base play from. Yeah, you know, I mean... Your problem is you think too much.
Rarely been accused of that.
You signed a dome kicker.
No, wait. First off, this is a moment where you can't use we or you, or in my case, I. Because I did not sign a dome kicker. I would not sign a dome kicker. And I'm ashamed that we signed a dome kicker.
You signed a dome kicker. At Heinz Field.
So which team is moving to Los Angeles? Is it going to be Oakland? Let's see. Who was it? It was Oakland, San Diego, and who was the other one that was going to move?
St. Louis. You signed a dome kicker.
No, I don't want to talk about it. I want to see who's moving to Los Angeles.
Oh, well, here's the issues that you have with that. I think Oakland's a prime candidate because they have probably the worst stadium in the league.
And they've already moved 17 times in their tenure, so they're already mobile.
They've moved twice.
They're the MASH of the NFL.
Yeah, but they've moved twice. They moved to Los Angeles and they moved back. I mean, the Rams have moved more than the Raiders have.
Where were they originally?
Cleveland.
See, I didn't remember. I remember Los Angeles, and then I remember St. Louis, but I don't remember Cleveland. The Cleveland Rams?
Yes, they were the Cleveland Rams. And they moved to Los Angeles.
Was that at the same time as the Pottsville Maroons?
Yeah, they would go back that far. But they moved to Los Angeles, I think, I want to say in 49. And 49 or 50, 49, in the right around there, 48 or 49 they moved. And I remember the Browns beat the Rams in a championship game. It was either 50 or 51. It was a big deal to the fans of Cleveland. And Chargers only moved once from Los Angeles to San Diego. All three franchises, the Rams, Raiders, and Chargers, all at one point were in Los Angeles. The Chargers won the city of San Diego and the county have put together a $1.1 billion stadium idea that they would build in Mission Valley, which essentially they're going to build it right next to Qualcomm Stadium. The problem they have is the environmental impact report. It normally takes 18 months for an environmental impact report. Now, I don't quite know why you need an environmental impact report to build a stadium next door to one that already exists where one's going to become a parking lot. To me, it's going to be the same environmental impact as the other one has, isn't it? I mean, what am I missing here? But they say it's going to take 18 months. They need to have the plan on the table by September 11th. And by having the plan on the table by September 11th, they can then bring it to the voters of San Diego by January 12th for a ballot referendum. Well, the team is not enamored with the plan that they put together, and they also say that by skirting the environmental impact report, they're going to have to go to court over it. So that's where they stand on San Diego. St. Louis really wants to keep the Rams. They really want to. They want to build a new stadium for them and everything. Stan Kroenke wants to build a stadium in Inglewood next to Hollywood Park. Okay. There's a part of this that is illogical to me, and that deals with market value. If I'm the NFL and I'm marketing across the country, one of the reasons you expand is that you want the television market. Well, isn't it smart to keep the St. Louis, San Diego television markets? But it's okay to move Oakland down to Los Angeles because you've got San Francisco that covers that market. Doesn't that just expand your market by just moving one team? We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. The Steelers sign a dome kicker. Fabulous.
You say a dome kicker or a dumb kicker?
Season's over. Yeah, when you started the season, yeah, it's over.
All I have to say is that every drive that is not a touchdown and not a punt had better finish inside the 20-yard line.
Again, the panic on you is amazing.
You have to admit, signing a dome kicker for Heinz Field when you play half your games at Heinz Field, would that be something you do? I mean, really? He was the best option available?
Maybe. I don't know.
He's an 81.7% kicker for his career.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, here's the stat. All right, you ready for this one?
It's a high number.
Sweezum is 62 for 71 his career. That's 87% at Heinz Field. All other kickers, since it's opened in 2001, are 75%.
Say that again.
Sweezum is an 87.3% field goal kicker at Heinz Field. All other kickers, since his stadium opened in 01, are 75.6 combined.
Okay. That includes bad ones, right?
Yes, that includes bad ones. Hartley is an 81.7 career kicker, most of his time spent with the Saints. The only time he kicked regularly outside was for two games with Cleveland when he went 3-for-3.
So 100%.
Last year.
Now, 100%.
I don't know what his inside or outside stats were with the Saints. And I don't know, maybe those Cleveland games were in a dome stadium. Odds are they weren't. But
where? Cincinnati?
Odds are that they weren't.
Your season's over.
Thanks.
I mean, having started yet, your season ended. Wow. That's hard when that happens. I'm stunned.
I'm trying to figure out which two games he played for Cleveland.
I don't know.
Let's see.
You think so much. He's still researching.
Yeah, I don't see it. I can't figure out what the two games were.
As Kevin continues to wrestle with the Garrett Hartley info, have you ever wrestled with your insurance problems? Purdy Insurance can take care of you in a heartbeat. As Kevin continues to wrestle.
Let's see. The Browns signed him in December 13th.
This is getting better by the minute.
So let's see. December 13th.
Yeah.
Let's see. That would have put it in. Okay. That was. All right. They would have signed him in time for the Browns-Bengals game, in which the Browns did not score.
Well, that's why you can't make a kick.
Let's see. And then the next game. The next game must have been when he kicked three field goals or something. Let's see. That was against the Panthers. That was at Carolina.
Yeah.
And then the last game would have been the game at Baltimore.
Okay.
So two. It appears to be two in the Brown, two in the at Carolina, and two on the road at one on the road at Baltimore. That's his the outside kicking for last year.
Fabulous segment. You probably set us back 10 minutes.
I'm telling you, they're not analyzing this as much in Pittsburgh as we are on this program, but they should be.
I think you're losing it. How many vacations have you had in the last month?
Just two.